Nationwide is so much more than a great insurance company. They're one of America's largest financial services companies. Like how I'm more than just Peyton Manning. I'm also Motivating Manning. When I say insurance, you say financial services. Insurance.
Financial services.
Insurance.
Financial services.
Now when I say Nationwide, you say is both. Nationwide.
Is both.
Nationwide.
Is both.
For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
So good, so good, so good.
New year, new gear. Thousands of fresh active styles are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. Save on top brands like Nike, Puma, and Free People, starting at just $35.
How did I not know Rack has Adidas?
There's always something new.
Plus, join the Nordy Club to shop new arrivals first, unlock exclusive discounts, and more. Great brands, great prices. That's why you Rack.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, fast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, December 31st, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And it's the last day of the year. The next time you hear from me, it'll be 2026. That's pretty crazy when you think about like Y2K and how long ago that seems. Like, it is wild it's already 2026. It almost feels like a year in a video game, like when you would simulate ahead a bunch and you would like make trades and draft players and stuff. And you'd be like, wow, all of a sudden I'm in 2026. It is wild. So I hope you all have a fun and safe New Year's Eve tonight. Stay up till midnight. I feel like even if you maybe fall asleep, like set a alarm for 11:59, you want to be up at midnight. You know, I know some of us are old and tired now, but you still want to enjoy the new year. So hopefully you go out, do something fun. I've set a New Year's resolution. My goal is to do 100 straight push-ups at one point this year. I want to do 100 straight push-ups. I don't know if I'll be able to do it. I'm going to try. If anyone has any advice on how to go about doing 100 straight push-ups, that would be awesome. But my goal for the new year, 100 straight push-ups, and hopefully you guys all come up with a fun New Year's resolution as well. The other thing I would say before we get into actual Eagles pod, just another random thought I have, is I don't love one of my least favorite New Year's posts that you see on whether like whatever social media is, oh, the gym's so much more crowded today than it is normally. Like, yes, people start to work out when the New Year's begins. I don't see why this is something that we should shame people for. So if your resolution is to work out more, you are welcome at the gym and you are welcome to work out. And all the people posting like, oh my God, it's so like the parking lot is so full. I'm not with it. So anyway, hope you all have a good New Year's Eve. But more importantly, let's get into the Eagles because we have a big weekend coming up. We now have way more information as to who the Eagles will play in their first playoff game as the Rams lose a shocking game to the Falcons. The Rams might be a good time to get them. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into some stuff Nick Sirianni and Vic Fangio and Kevin Petullo had to say. And then I want to give some thoughts on the three teams that the Eagles might play in the postseason. But as always, let's start where we normally do with what is on the schedule for today as the Eagles prepare to take on the Washington Commanders this Sunday. Of course, who will be taking on the Washington Commanders? Still up in the air. I don't think the starters are going to play, but the Eagles will be at practice today. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what their depth chart looks like at practice when practice begins. That could be our first indication of it. But Nick Sirianni will talk today. The players will talk today. And they'll practice today. We'll see what it looks like, what Nick has to say. Nick was on WIP Tuesday morning and still wouldn't say what he was going to do. My guess is when we hear from him today, he's not going to say what the Eagles are going to do. But we'll find out. So that's what's on the schedule. Nick Sirianni, the players talk, and we'll get practice. So a lot of good Eagles news coming today. The injury report, no new updates yet. Really, it'll be interesting to see if Lane Johnson practices this week. I would be shocked if Lane Johnson took the field on Sunday, but it'll be interesting to see if he does take time to practice, get some reps in, see how he feels before the final week of practice, before the playoff game. So that's really the one to keep an eye on heading into this week. Now, From a news perspective, the Eagles did make a roster move this week, cutting long snapper Charlie Hewlett. Now, there could be a bunch of different things going on here, right? Like, one, it's possible they're bringing in a new long snapper. I wouldn't say it's like completely out of the question, but I think more than likely this is a roster move type of thing. My guess is they cut Charlie because they're going to promote someone from the practice squad up to the 53. They'll put Charlie Hewlett on the practice squad, elevate him for the game. So he'll still play. He'll still be the long snapper. But if you look at players that I believe are out of elevations on the practice squad, Andre Sam and Patrick Johnson, two players that I think they're going to want to play this weekend because they're probably not going to play their starter. So my guess is Charlie Hewlett will still be the long snapper, and this is more about roster moves than it is them cutting Charlie and just moving on to a new long snapper. It'd be pretty crazy to switch the long snapper at this point of the season, but we'll hopefully find out more as the week goes on. Michael Clay was asked about it on Tuesday, and in a very Eaglesy way to answer a question, he said, "Yeah, we're gonna, we'll have a long snapper, but basically, we're not gonna tell you guys. So, you know, maybe a competitive advantage there in terms of Washington not knowing who the long snapper is, but it's probably more about them wanting to bring a player in or promote a player or something like that. But hey, Trevon Diggs was cut on Tuesday, so maybe they're bringing him in as a potential guy to get on the roster. Wouldn't completely surprise me if that was it. So maybe we'll get an emergency pod. Maybe we already had one. You just never know. But that's really the news. Charlie Hewlett cut, and looks like a new player will be making his way onto the 53-man roster. Okay, let's get into the latest with the playoff seeding, as everything is really, really starting to come into focus on who the Eagles will be playing in the first round and what we need to be tracking on Sunday. So obviously the first thing we're tracking here, and I should say this is all the result of the Rams losing to the Falcons on Monday night, which we'll talk about later when I get into the possible opponents. The Rams not in a great spot right now, but the Rams lose to the Falcons on Monday night, which means the Eagles can no longer play Seattle in the first round. And I should say, shout out to Deniz Seldman. He does an unbelievable job on Twitter. He does stuff on PHLY. He does a great job tracking all of this stuff. So just wanted to give him a shout out. He's the guy whose graphics you see all over Twitter. Does a phenomenal job. So the Eagles, the Rams losing on Monday night means Eagles can no longer play Seattle. So there are three potential teams they could play in the first round: the Packers, the Niners, or the Rams. So how could they play each? Well, first, let's talk about the Eagles game. If the Eagles win on Sunday and then Chicago loses, or I should say at the same time, because the games are at the same time. If the Eagles win on Sunday and Chicago loses to Detroit, the Eagles will be the 2 seed and play the Green Bay Packers. The Packers are stuck at that 7 seed. That won't be changing. So if the Eagles win and the Bears lose, the Bears would go to 3, the Eagles would go up to 2, and the Eagles would play the Packers. The other scenario is, if the Eagles either lose to Washington or Chicago wins, but the Eagles land at the 3 seed, they will be playing either San Francisco or the Rams. Again, can no longer play Seattle. So the three teams they could play in the first round: the Packers, if they're the 2 seed, and if they're the 3 seed, it'll be either the Rams or the Niners. Now, how could it be the Rams and the Niners? Well, if Seattle wins on Saturday night in San Francisco against the Niners would drop to the 6 seed, and the Seattle would then be the 1 seed. So then the Eagles would get the Niners. If San Francisco wins, it'll be the Rams. The Rams would be the 6 seed. So depending on who you want to play, if you want to play the Niners in the first round, you root for Seattle. If you want to play the Rams in the first round, you root for San Francisco. So that's how this is all playing out going into Sunday. The Eagles, if they are the 2 seed, will play the Packers, and we know what needs to happen for them to be the 2 seed. And if they are the 3 seed, they will play either the Niners or the Rams. It'll be the Niners if Seattle wins. It'll be the Rams if San Francisco wins. So that is where we are at with it. And then the second half of the pod, we're going to get into who the Eagles would be best off playing. Now, I've thought about this a lot throughout the week, since Sunday, really. And I've landed on like where I'm at with it. I would play to win the game on Sunday. If that means playing the starters for part of the game, do it. I would try to do it in a way where you're not playing the starters. I think Tanner McKee, I think Tanner McKee, along with you know, some of the guys on offense, Tank Bigsby, Jahan Dotson, some of the offensive linemen, not Cam or Landon or Mailata. You play some guys on defense. Like, I think they can do it without playing the starters, but I think the advantage of getting the two seed, where you avoid going to Chicago in the second round, or really at all, and you get the Packers in the first round, is a big enough thing that I think they'd be making a mistake if they just completely tried not to win the game. And I don't think that'll be the case, because again, I think McKee will play well. I think you'll see some of the guys, but I would play to try to win the game. Now, you might be saying, well, Elliot, the Bears need to lose to the Lions, and that's unlikely to happen. And maybe. I mean, the Lions have nothing to play for, and the Bears obviously have something to play for in terms of getting two home playoff games. But the Bears have been in a lot of close games this year. If you look, excuse me, wow, can't get this gone. If you look, the Bears have played 10 one-score games this year. So of the 16 games they have played, 10 have been decided by one score. And then of the five that weren't losses, right, two were one-score games. So of the 16 games they have played, 12 of the 16 were either a one-score game or a loss. And that matters because come Sunday, there's a good chance in the third or fourth quarter, the Eagles will be looking at the scoreboard and saying either A, the Bears are losing, or B, it's a one-score game. So there's a shot. And again, the Lions beat the Bears 52-21 all the way back in week two. Obviously, the Bears are a different team. The Lions are a different team. But they did beat them by 30 points in week two. The Lions are a very motivated team. We know that they would love nothing more than to win this game and hurt the Bears. We have seen the Lions do this exact thing before. So I think that there's a real chance that the Bears lose the game, the Eagles win the game on Sunday, and the Eagles are the two seed. And so I think they should try to win the game. Like, fully, that is where I think they're at. Now, I do think they could beat them without Jalen Hurts and Saquon and AJ. If you look at Washington, Marcus Mariota is unlikely to play. So it's going to be Josh Johnson. They're still playing their guys, it seems, like McLaurin, Debo, the starting running backs, their defensive guys. But they're just not a good team. The Eagles beat this basically exact Washington team 2 weeks ago. I know it was close at halftime, but they ended up winning it comfortably. I think they can beat Washington. I think they will beat Washington, but I would definitely try to win the game. Like, it matters to me whether they are the two seed or the three seed. If they're the two seed, I think they're absolutely beating the Packers, and I think there's a really, really good chance they'll be in the NFC Championship game. If they're the three seed, I still think they would probably win the first game, and maybe they would go to Chicago and win, but I would say if they're the three seed, the chances of them going to the Super Bowl, to me, are like 55-60%. If they're the three seed, I think that dips to like 30, 35-ish, right? I still think they should be viewed as the favorite, but I just think winning two games at home and avoiding going to Chicago and getting to play the Packers, that's you really couldn't ask for a better path to the NFC Championship game. So I'd go for it, and I would try to win the game. All right, now let's get into some stuff that Vic Fangio, Petullo, and Nick Sirianni had to say. Let's start actually with Nick Sirianni. So Nick Sirianni was on the WIP morning show on Tuesday morning. The normal cast of characters was out. So shout out to Tom Kelly and Devin Caney, who did a great job interviewing them. And, you know, we just talked about the Eagles' chances of going to the Super Bowl. Nick kind of flexed a little bit, right? And talked about the Eagles' resume, right? Like, it reminded me a little bit of if a college coach was trying to convince the committee where they should be seated in the playoffs or the fact that, like, they should get in. So here's what Nick had to say, talking about, like, the resume of the team.
That was a tough win and in some tough conditions in the NFL. I think about, like, the first-place schedule that we played, right? You know, as far as, you know, everybody in our conference played the NFC, North. Everyone in our conference played the AFC West, but we're the only ones that played the Bills, the Tampa, and the Rams. And to come out of that with a 3-0 record, speaks a lot of volumes for our team. And what we've done so far, and we got more to accomplish.
I mean, he's not wrong. Like, I don't think there's a team in the NFC that has a better resume this year than the Eagles in terms of wins. Like, they have beaten a lot of quality teams. And I know you can look back at it and say, well, the Chiefs didn't end up being that good. But in week two, that was still a quality win, right? They've beaten the Chiefs. They've beaten the Bucks. They've beaten the Lions. They've beaten the Packers. They've beaten the Bills. They've beaten, I'm sure there's another game in there I'm not thinking of that was a quality win. Like, they have quality wins. And if you look at the other NFC teams, They just don't have that same level of quality wins, in my opinion. So I do think Nick is correct. Like, we can, and he didn't say this, but we can be worried about the offense. We can be worried about the offensive line and the running game. But they've had pretty much the same offensive line and running game all year, and they've been able to beat quality opponents. So I think Nick is correct to flex a little bit there. The other thing Nick talked about was the viral video of him walking off the field where he's kind of showing emotion, right? And the question was not like directly about it, but it was about emotion. And Nick talked about, you know, how he's going to show emotion. And here's what he had to say.
Nick, you seem pretty fired up on the sideline throughout that, really the entirety of the game. And then, of course, you know, walking off the field in the tunnel. Did you feel a bit of extra juice in this one because it's your hometown and the opponent in particular of the Bills and how tough of an opponent and offense they were that you guys won?
Yeah, I don't think the hometown thing. I mean, those, you know, I know a lot of people that were in the stands and this and that. I got that. But, you know, it's more, it's just football is fun, right? Like, I have a job that I love. Because I love football, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way. You love football, you love sports. That's why you do what you do. And it's okay to show emotion, right? It's fun to show emotion. Like, it's fun. It's okay to be excited. And I don't think I've ever been somebody that has been shy to show my emotion. And you know, we had fun. We had fun in that game. We had fun winning that game. You know, and yeah, you're going to be emotional after the game, and you're going to be emotional in the game. And so it's just about being able to be emotional. You can be emotional, but then it's got to be, hey, how are we playing the next play? How am I coaching the next play? Everything like that. It's the same thing that we talk to our players about. It's the same thing for a coach. I love seeing our guys show emotion after they make a big play, and I show emotion after they make a big play because – you know, that's why you get into, that's one of the reasons why you get into coaching. You can't make plays anymore and you want to help other people make plays. And so you're so excited for the guys. You're so excited about that. And that was a tough win and in some tough conditions in the NFL. You know, I think about like the first place schedule that we played, right? You know, as far as, you know, everybody in our conference played the NFC, North. Everyone in our conference played the AFC West, but we're the only ones that played the Bills, the Tampa, and the Rams. And to come out of that with a 3-0 record, you know, speaks a lot of volumes for our team and what we've done so far. And we got more to accomplish.
We've had this debate on the pod a lot of times, whether it is him yelling at the fan in the stands against the Browns, whether it's, you know, him crying off the field after they beat the Colts, whether it is him yelling at fans after the Chiefs game. You can go on and on, right? Lots of examples of Nick showing emotion, like bringing his kids to the podium, right? Maybe not emotion, but that is, you know, doing things somewhat unconventionally. And like, I think it's emotional to bring your kids up there, but regardless, I think the point he's making here is also correct. Like, he's an emotional guy. This is who he is. It's kind of like how, you know, some people wish Jalen Hurts would show more emotion, but that's just who Jalen is. And that's what makes him who he is. And it's how he handles things. And it's how he's able to handle being the quarterback of the Eagles. I think Nick and his emotion are a positive for this team. It doesn't mean it's always a positive, and it doesn't mean everything he does is right. But I do think the net outcome of it is a net positive. So I agree with him. I do think it's good he shows emotion, and he's not going to stop. Like, he's just not. So everyone that it bothers, and it certainly bothers a lot of people, I can see that on Twitter, the reaction to his video. But it doesn't really matter how they feel. It's about how his players in the locker room feel, and I do think it's a positive for them. All right. Next, let's talk about what Vic Fangio and Kevin Petullo had to say on Tuesday when they spoke to the media. So first, let's go Vic Fangio. So Vic Fangio was asked about the return of Jalen Carter, and in Vic Fangio term, like Vic Fangio lingo, whatever you want to say, this is high praise from Vic Fangio. So here's Vic Fangio talking about the return of Jalen Carter.
How big was it having Jalen Carter back, and what did you think of his performance?
Yeah, I thought he played well. You know, I really didn't know how he would play because he missed three games, I believe, and didn't practice until this past week. you know, during that time. And I thought he played well. And I think he's off to a good start, and hopefully he'll build on that and play good, you know, down the stretch here and into the playoffs.
So we talked about this in the post game pod, or the daily pod from Monday, I guess I should say, about how important it was to get Jalen Carter back. But one thing I didn't mention in there that was crazy that he said after the game is that he wasn't able to do a push-up prior to this shoulder procedure. Now, obviously, he's able to do a push-up. He's stronger. And you could see on Sunday how dominant he was. And, you know, and Vic Fangio talked about this too. Like, I think the throw that Josh Allen missed was viewed as an easy throw. And to be clear, like, I think it's an easy throw. He should make it. But when you rewatch the play, like, Jalen Phillips and Jalen Carter force Josh Allen out of the pocket. He's throwing, like, across his body. He's on the run. And Vic pointed that out. Like, it wasn't as easy as a throw as people made it out to be. Again, still a throw he should absolutely make. But Jalen Carter coming back to this team is a big deal. And you saw that on Sunday. Like, I think the best unit on the team right now is the defensive line. I think it's better than the receiver unit. It's better than the secondary unit. It's better than the linebacker unit. I think the best unit on the team is a defensive line. I think Jalen Carter is a really big part of that. So, Vic, very complimentary of Jalen Carter. All right, let's get to Kevin Petullo. So, Kevin Petullo, not as fun of a press conference as Vic Fangio's. Vic's was basically like, hey, your defense is super awesome and everybody's great. And it's funny, Vic said at one point, you know, I like having great players. They make me look smart. And I think it's funny, you could actually like use that for the offense too, where we talk so much about is it Petullo or the players. Like, Vic's telling you right there that the players matter a lot. Obviously, coaching does too, clearly, but the players matter quite a bit. So Petullo was asked about the second half and what happened in that half. So here's what Petullo had to say about the offense stalling majorly against the Bills in the second half on Sunday.
When you look at the tape, what does it show you about the second half?
Yeah, actually, it's funny you say that. We're working through that right now still. We watched it, obviously, right after the game as a staff. We watched through it on the plane, then we went through it yesterday. And we're still going through some stuff now as we speak. And really, when you look at it, is the amount of drives we had and plays and some of the starting positions. You know, it was the first down thing again. We had four drives where we had inefficient first downs, put us in 4 second and longs. And then from that, we were in 3 third and longs. And you know, when you're doing that, when that's happening, it's going to be very hard to move the ball. And that's the unfortunate part of it. You know, we had the one backed up drive from -1. We have to get it out. We ran again on second down. We didn't get much. And then third down, you know, we had some pressure and that was a punt. And so when you look at those drives, you know, it gets frustrating because we need one play. All we need is one spark, one thing to get those things going, and we're out of it. And there was one drive we were very close. On the one where we went first and 10 pass, then we went 2nd and 10. We had Devontae. We had a little bit of pressure. We almost made the play. He had a great route, you know, versus man coverage. We won, and we just didn't happen. 3rd and 10, we don't convert. So those are the frustrating pieces that we're looking at as a staff. You know, how do we get out of those? What do we need to do better as a coaching staff? How do we execute better? Because really, it's not just one person, one thing, one play style, one call. It's everything. We got to look at everything. So it never comes down to one thing, but it's the whole full picture of everybody working together, making sure we're on the same page and getting those done. Because that was what really was frustrating in the second half. And you can feel that because the first half, we had some things that we did nicely. And in the second half, we wanted to kind of run the ball and get it going. And it just got off and we got those second and longs. And that's what was really frustrating about it. And so when you look at it, like I said, we're still looking at it right now. We're going through, you know, other games to see how things played out, how we can continuously improve from this and get guys in positions. And, you know, once we get them in position, we got to execute it and let it play out.
So this is one thing they've really harped on this year, right? It feels like early on it was unscouted looks, and then it became, you know, 1st and 2nd down and not getting to 3rd and longs. And that's not reinventing the wheel. Like, if you have an easier 3rd down in football, you are going to move the ball better and things will be better. But Petullo bringing up like the first down of it all, right? And how when you stall on first down, it's hard to be aggressive on second down. It's harder to like get in the flow of things. And he's right. When you looked at the second half on Sunday against the Bills, like they were in a lot of 3rd and longs. And then the one time they were backed up and that put them in a tough spot. But I think what they miss a little bit when they say this, and I think it's good points, but I also think it can't be excused away. Like, an elite offense should be able to dig themselves out of the hole more than the Eagles are. It's almost like if they have a bad first down, it's, you know, a death sentence, right? Like, well, there's that drive. And no, I think, you know, a great offense, a great quarterback, a great offensive coordinator, a great offensive head coach finds a way to dig themselves out of that. And the Eagles are going three and out at a historically high rate this year. So I think the resume of Nick and Jalen and Petullo and these guys, like, is obviously a great one. But the constant leaning on first down, like, they got to find ways out of it. Even if it is, and I know it's easier when it's a third and short, but you can't go three and out at a historic rate and then act like you're facing a problem that other teams have never faced. You're just dealing with the problem worse than the other teams are. So I get what he's saying. I think it's a fair point, but, like, they got to be better at it. In the playoffs, they're not going to get a productive first down all the time, right? Like, they have to find ways to dig out of third and longs and second and longs and make it third and manageable. So he's right about what the problem is, but they got to find a way to solve that problem. And they haven't really been able to do it all year. So on the other side, in order to advance in the playoffs, they're going to have to figure that out. But it's also going to matter who they play. So on the other side, I'm going to give my thoughts on the Rams, the Niners, the Packers, the three potential playoff opponents. I mean, I'm not going to give an order because I think it's pretty obvious what order it would be. But just some thoughts on them, some problems they would present, and some areas Eagles would be able to attack them. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, let's get into talking about the three potential teams that the Eagles could play in the playoffs. And as we talked about in the first part of the pod, it's the Niners, it's the Rams, and it is the Packers. So unfortunately, no Seahawks. I think that would have been a great first-round matchup. No Panthers, that would have been a great first-round matchup. But it's not going to happen. So it's going to be the Rams, the 49ers, or the Packers. So I think the order in terms of who they would want to face is pretty clear. And I think the number one team you would want to face is the Packers. First of all, they beat the Packers all the time. They beat them this year. They beat them twice last year. They beat them in the postseason last year. And the Packers have just not been the team this year that everybody thought they would be. I mean, we talked leading up to the Eagles-Packers game about how the Packers constantly get viewed as this, like, threat in the NFC, and they're up and coming, and they just never meet that potential. Like, another year where they're going to barely make the playoffs, they're going to not meet expectations, Jordan Love's not going to be the great quarterback everyone says, and they're just not a great team. So you look at the Packers, no Micah Parsons, obviously. They're missing Elgton Jenkins, their starting center. They're missing Tucker Kraft. They're missing Devontae Wyatt, their defensive tackle. Like, they are very banged up as a team. Not to mention, their starting quarterback, Jordan Love, didn't play last week due to a concussion. He missed half of week 16 as well. Obviously, with a concussion, you hope he's okay, and you hope that he will be able to play. But the fact that he missed a game with a concussion is certainly worrisome. And he was apparently limited in practice last week. He did end up being questionable, but week 17 didn't end up playing. Matt LaFleur, the head coach, said, you know, they have to give him the clear protocol. So we'll see if he's able to play. My guess is he does not play this Sunday because they have nothing to play for. But then the next week, he would probably be good for the postseason, but he would then be coming off of almost three straight games without playing because he suffered his concussion in the first part of week 16. And, you know, the team is banged up. Jaden Reed's back, but he hasn't been really effective since he got back. Again, they don't have Tucker Kraft. Like, I think it would be a really good first matchup for the Eagles. Now, the other thing is the Packers, not great at taking care of the football and not great at taking the football away. In fact, they're exactly dead even in the turnover plus minus. They're 16th in the league. So, and from a turnover perspective, the Eagles, I think, would have the advantage in that game. They'd have the better quarterback, better head coach, better weapons, better defense. Like, they'd have it all. That would be a game I think the Eagles would win. So that would obviously be the best outcome. If they can get the Packers in the first game, I think they would maybe be like 6-point favorites. In fact, it would almost be so worrisome about how confident I think everybody would be. That would be like the worry. But I think just from a matchup perspective, it's absolutely who you would want. So there is the advantage to getting the 2 seed in that you would get the Packers, who I think is the easiest opponent. All right. Next, it comes down to who would you rather face, the Rams or the 49ers? And look, I'll rank them right now. My ranking could change. This is more just looking at the teams, the problems they will present and all that. But I think right now today, if you had to tell me who would you rather play, the Rams or the Niners, I still think I would pick the Niners, and I still think the Rams are the toughest matchup. Now, to be clear, the Rams are not playing good football right now. They're 2-3 in their last 5 games. They lost to Seattle. They lost to the Panthers. Obviously, they lost Monday night to the Falcons. And even their game against the Lions, they were down 24-14 to Detroit and had to come back. So in their last 5 games, they have basically lost 4 of them, or at least didn't play well in 4 of them. And then they smoked the Cardinals, and that's it. So, like, they're not collapsing by any stretch, but they certainly are not playing their best football. So that would be, like, one reason to put the Rams. But the reason I think I would still rather play the Niners is because while the Niners officially have my attention, like, definitely, Brock Purdy's been very good recently, 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions in his last 3 games. The Niners have won 6 games in a row. They're the number 8 offense, number 13 defense. But you look at those 6 straight wins. The Niners' 6 straight wins: Arizona, Carolina, Cleveland, Tennessee, Indianapolis with Phillip Rivers, and Chicago. Arizona sucks. Cleveland sucks. Tennessee sucks. The Colts with Phillip Rivers aren't that good. Carolina, like, fine team, but, like, I would not call that even really a quality win, especially a few weeks ago. The Bears win's a good win. Like, that was an epic game, and they looked really good doing it. And sometimes there's, like, momentum, and winning 6 straight matters more. And there's no question the Niners have way more momentum than the Rams do. But it's not like they've been beating great teams week after week here to win the 6 games. Like, the Eagles have faced way tougher teams in their last 6 games. But the other reason I think I'd rather face the Rams than the Niners is the Niners are not good at winning the turnover battle. The Niners have turned it over 21 times and have 16 turnovers, which gives them a negative turnover differential on the season. That's 26th in the NFL. That negative 5 turnover differential, 26th in the NFL. How do the Eagles win games? They win games by winning the turnover battle. The Niners are 26th in the turnover battle. The Rams, they have the 6th best turnover differential in the NFL. They are plus 9. That's even better than the Eagles. The Eagles are 7th in the NFL in turnover differential. The Rams are 6th. So the Rams have been way better taking care of the ball this year. The Niners are minus 5. Now, I get that they've had players in and out. Mac Jones played. Brock Purdy's been pretty good at taking care of the ball. Though, honestly, Purdy does have 9 interceptions on the season. But the Niners don't win the turnover battle. The Eagles win the turnover battle, and they win games by winning the turnover battle. So the Niners' inability to take care of the ball, to me, would be the main reason I'd rather play them than the Rams. But they have the Niners, the things that scare you. Like, they have a great coaching staff. They came into Philadelphia and beat the Eagles. I know this feels like it was a century ago, but I'm just saying, like, Kyle Shanahan, I think, will be confident going up against the Eagles. Robert Saleh, I think, is a great defensive coordinator. The Rams have McVay, but I just think the 49ers coaching staff is better. Now, the other thing the Niners do well is they have the 2nd fewest penalties in the NFL this season. So that's a concern that the Rams and Niners, the 2 teams that they're, let's be honest, like, probably most likely to play in the first round, are some of the fewest penalized teams. In fact, the top 2 fewest penalized teams in the NFL. So for the Niners, it would be they don't get penalized a lot. They have a great coaching staff. They've won six straight. Brock Purdy's playing really well. Like, that would be the positives of it, right? Christian McCaffrey, obviously, like, those would be the hard parts of facing the Niners. The negative for the Niners, but the positive for the Eagles would be they don't take care of the ball. They don't have great receivers. They haven't beaten quality teams really much this year. So that would be like, and for what it's worth, I know it'd be in Philly, but I don't think going to San Francisco would be hard if you had to do that. Ultimately, I still put the Rams number one because they have the best offense in the NFL. They have the number eight defense in the NFL. They take care of the balls we just talked about. They don't get penalized a lot. They have weapons on offense. They haven't played well without Devontae Adams, but in theory, Devontae Adams will be back for the game. I still think I would go Rams toughest matchup, 49ers second toughest, Packers third toughest, but I think the Rams and Niners are way closer than I thought it would be before. And like, I could definitely change my mind. Like, I think it's pretty close, but I think the Eagles beat the Packers. I think they probably beat the 49ers. And I think there's, you know, a little less of a chance they beat the Rams, but I would probably pick them to win all three of those games. But there's still a game to be played on Sunday. We don't know who it's going to be yet, but it's exciting to talk about these things. The playoffs is, outside of training camp, my favorite time of the year. So that'll do it for today's podcast. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. Until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Bears! Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.